Living Hope Assembly of God.
And today, my beautiful wife, the mother of my children, my bride, man, she's my right hand. She's right there with me through thick and thin, good times, bad times. We have enjoyed now, I think, 8-9 years of full-time ministry, and we're so blessed. And every time I see her, she multitasks. She has, you know, led worship. She has preached the gospel. She is going to be ordained. And so that's in the works right now. And so, you know, that's going to happen next, our next district council, where we're going to celebrate all the ones who are being ordained, and she's going to be one of those participants and recipients of ordination. And so we are excited about that. She's a lover of God's word. Praise God for that. She's in God's word, and she knows God's word. And so she's the great example for our children. She teaches our children. She shapes them into being not only good people in society, but she's raising them up to fear God. And, you know, when our children are out, man, people are even going to look at her and say, wow, you children evidently are blessed to have a great mother. And many around her call her blessed, and she is blessed by the Lord, and the favor of the Lord is upon her life. And so I can sit here all day and talk about my wife, and, you know, I'll say this and I'll hand it over to her. Without a shadow of a doubt, man, I'm a better person because God brought me a godly wife. When we were in seminary, I would watch, and, you know, at SAGU, they had this saying, ring by spring. If you go to seminary there, you're probably going to leave with a wife or a husband. That's the saying. And so it happened to a lot of people. And I would watch her, you know, and how she would go into the chapel, and a lot of the other young ladies would just be running around talking and laughing and doing their thing. But I would watch her put her books down. And out of all of those people, hundreds of people, and I would watch her. You could tell I was stalking, huh? You're like, yeah, you were stalking that girl. But I would watch her, and she would put her books down, and she would go to the altar and talk to God. And, you know, and I knew, I said, that's the one I'm going to go after. And the Bible says that the man who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtain favor from the Lord. You know, I went out and I found my wife, and I'm thankful I did, and we were such great compliments. We're completely different in ministry, our styles of preaching, but it's a compliment to what God is doing in my life and bringing her into my life. So without anything else needing to be said this morning, we're going to listen to my wife as she preaches the word of God on this Mother's Day. Amen. Let's give her a round of applause. Amen.
Amen. Well, it is Mother's Day. So today, I do want to speak a word of encouragement to all the mothers in the room. But I'm not going to forget about all of the others in the room. So bear with me while I encourage the mothers today. Can we do that? Can you give me time to encourage the mothers first, and then let me speak to the rest of you? This morning I want to speak out of the book of Galatians. Paul is writing a letter to the Galatian church. It's essentially a message for all believers who are working diligently to fulfill the call of God that's on their lives. But this morning I would like to relate it to all of you moms. Because mom, whether you are called to full-time ministry or not, if you are a Christian mother, you have been called to raise a generation of children in the strength and the admonition of the Lord. You've been given the task of bringing them up to be not only active contributors in this society, but also in the kingdom of God. Amen? And it's not an easy task. Come on, ladies. It's not an easy task. Amen. So first, would you stand with me as I read the word? Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 4. It says, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. Verse 7, do not be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit, that is the Spirit of God, will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you've given me an opportunity to stand before your people and deliver a word of encouragement to the mothers in this room today. I pray, Lord God, that I would disappear behind the power of the cross this morning, that you would speak through me, Lord, and that they would see and hear your words. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. In this passage of Scripture, like I said, Paul is writing to the Galatian church, and he is talking to all Christians, men and women. But today, I want to speak from this passage directly to all the mothers in the room. And the first thing I want to say to you ladies is don't get distracted by the way another mother does her job. Don't get distracted by the moms on Facebook who have it all together. Don't get distracted by your neighbor who, when her windows are up in the summertime, you can't hear her yelling at her children. Moms, don't get distracted by the work of another woman. Amen? Paul says in verse 4 and 5 that we should pay careful attention to our own work and not compare ourselves to anyone else, because at the end of the day, we alone are responsible for the job that we do. Mom, although your job is your responsibility and your responsibility alone, you're not left alone to figure it out. Amen? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says this, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Moms, how many of you ever find yourself in a time of need? And in a time of needing more of God's mercy and grace in the way that you do your job. I know I do, and this passage says that we can come boldly before the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The job may be great, but you have not been left alone. James also reminds us that if any of us lack wisdom, am I the only one who can say, when that first baby was placed in my arms, I realized that I lacked a lot of wisdom, and I've still been trying to figure it out for 9 years what I'm doing. But James says that if any of us lacks wisdom, we should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. I take comfort in these types of scriptures, in these passages of scripture where God is our helper, where Jesus wants to help us along our way, because I haven't gotten it all figured out. But I can boldly come before his throne. I can humbly cry out for grace when I don't know what to do. And I can know that wisdom will come straight from the throne of God to help me. Children don't come with owner's manuals. Becky and her mom and Stephanie and I were talking yesterday. I went by and mostly to see the baby, also to take some food. But I was talking with them, and that's exactly what Becky's mom said. They don't come with owner's manuals, and they don't. We are constantly trying to figure out how to raise this one child, and then you figure out some things that work. The next one comes along, and guess what? That doesn't work with number two or number three, right? So we're constantly trying to figure this out and develop a plan. And mom, I just want to tell you right now, you're going to make probably about a million mistakes. Did you know that? You're going to make about a million mistakes. But if you walk humbly before the Lord, asking him for wisdom, being bold in your asking of him for grace, and stay focused on your own children, your own home, you will do way more good than harm at the end of the day. Amen? You're doing a good job, Mom. You're doing a good job. You won't be perfect. You might not get very many thank yous along the way. You might even be doing the very best, and they don't quite like the very best. But Mom, you're doing a good job, okay? If you look back at what else Paul says in our texts, he says right there at the end of verses 4 and 5, he says, you will get the satisfaction of a job well done. I want to tell you a little story this morning to help relate this. My mama had 6 kids in 7 years and then 2 miscarriages. It would have been 8 of us. We all have the same initials, and we were all stair-stepped, obviously. And everybody that saw us said, you're a Johnson. There's no question about it. You're a Johnson. You know, we drove this big old van that everybody called the bus. And there were 6 of us, 7 years. And I guarantee you the one and only time that my mama slapped my mouth, I deserved it. Okay? My mom was a very patient, diligent mother. She worked hard. She cleaned the house. She cooked and worked outside of the home for the majority of our time. She homeschooled us when she could, and she was an excellent mother. My memories of my mother is that she did a great job. All of us are well-rounded, and we're all surviving in this world. Amen? And we're all... Most of us are on our way to following God if we're not already, amen? But here's what she remembers, because my sister, my little sister and I were talking with her one day and just talking about our childhood, and man, you know, my mom went through some pretty hard stuff, and we would say to her, you know, I mean, I don't know how you did it, 6 kids in 7 years, and you worked, and you still did all the mom stuff that you were supposed to do, and you had all these rough things you were going through. I don't know how you did it. And she's like, oh, I don't see it like that. She literally said that her memory of us as kids, that she spent the whole time yelling and screaming and saying no. I feel that way most days in my own home. But us as kids, we don't remember it that way. We remember that she did a good job. So, Mom, even on the tough days, if you walk humbly before the Lord, go boldly before the throne of grace, ask for the wisdom that you need for the day. And if you got to go again and again and again in the same day, keep going, because he's there. He wants to help you. You are the steward of his babies, so he will certainly give you the wisdom to do this thing. And at the end of the day, you can say, job well done. And I know your children and your husband and the people around you who are watching you raise these children will also say, well done. Okay? Don't compare yourself to the life of another mom. Don't do it. It will throw you off. You go before God and you raise your children and stay focused on that. Number two, be careful what you sow into your children. Paul tells the believers in verses 7 and 8 that you will always harvest what you plant. So Jody's been planting her garden. I don't have a green thumb. How many of you planted a garden or are planting or planning on planting? I think Gina plants and Sister Hensel plants. So some of you plant gardens. I keep saying I'm going to at least plant a pepper plant for my husband and just see if I can keep it alive. I have yet to do that. But they plant these plants, and we were talking about the potato. You know, I'm thinking, like, potatoes grow under the ground, they're roots, but you have this one plant. How do you get lots of potatoes? So I'm, hey, Jody, how do you get lots of potatoes from one little
potato thing, you know, an eye of a potato that's sprouting or whatever, which does happen in my pantry from time to time. Maybe I should plant those. So I was asking her, and she said, well, they get these little, and they go down, and as they just branch out, the potatoes just grow on the vine. Now, if I planted an onion plant expecting to get potatoes, I'm not going to get potatoes. Whatever we sow is what we will harvest. So if you want potatoes at the end of the season, you got to plant some sprouted potato eyes, right? Is that pretty much how it works? If you want some big old juicy fried green tomatoes at the end of a long hot summer, right, Celeste? You got to plant some tomato plants to get tomatoes. And Paul is speaking the obvious here. Whatever you will always harvest whatever you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from the sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit, that is the Spirit of God, will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. Now, Paul is referring to our sinful nature versus living in the Spirit, and as it relates to our eternal resting place. So after death, we have heaven or hell, and how we live our life here determines where we spend eternity, okay? So this is what Paul is talking about, but there's a biblical principle at work here, which is sowing and reaping, or in other words, planting and harvesting. Whatever you plant, that's what you're going to get off of that plant at the end of the growing season. And with our children, it's quite the same thing. So Mom, I want to encourage you with this. Be quick to say, I'm sorry. Remind your children that although mommy makes mistakes, mommy's heart is set on seeing your child love God, love others, trust Christ, serve the church. Sow your values, sow biblical principles into your children so that at the end of the growing season, you are reaping a biblical, godly life in that child. Sow love into your children, you will reap love from them. Sow patience into your children, and you will from them reap patience also. Sow into them goodness, godliness, kindness. Sow the word of God into your children so that they may know the God of the Bible. What you sow into your babies, Mama, is what you will reap a harvest of. Remember this, the harvest comes long after the seeds have been planted, watered, protected, sometimes even re-sown, and given light. I know that asparagus is one of those crops. When we lived in Valentine, a lot of people grew asparagus. I'm not really sure why. And it would just grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. And every year it comes back, and every year there's more of it. But they say when you first plant it, you can't eat the first couple years' crop. You got to cut it off, let it come back, cut it off, let it come back. And then around that third year, then you can start eating the asparagus. Mom, if it takes a while of sowing into those children, don't give up. The harvest comes long after the seed has been sown. There's going to be a time that will pass from the planting to the harvest. And between that time, you've got to water it. You've got to protect it. Sometimes it gets dug up by the puppies and you got to go put the plant back in. Remember these types of things when you're working with your own children. Sometimes you got to sow that seed over and over and over again. Sometimes you got to get on your knees and forget about dinner and just intercede for your children. You've got to sow into them water and protect what you've sown. Give it light. The word of God is a light into our path. Give them the light of Scripture as much as you can. Don't expect your children, I'm guilty of this, y'all, so everything I wrote in here, I preached it to myself first, just so y'all know. Don't expect your children to be a direct replica of you when they're 2, 3, 7, or even 17. It takes a while of sowing, and they will begin to produce the fruit of all the bad stuff you do before they start to produce the fruit of all the good stuff that you do. Can I get an amen? I didn't realize how bad it sounded for me to say C-R-A-P until I heard one of my kids say C-R-A-P out loud. And I said, oh my goodness, where did you, oh yeah, that came from me, right? And so they start to produce some of the bad stuff before they start to produce the good stuff. But don't give up, mama. Be careful what you sow into your children. Keep on sowing. Keep on watering their little spirits. Keep on loving them. Give them grace. When you feel the Spirit of God say, retract that punishment, and you're like, uh-uh, they deserve that one. Listen, if the Holy Spirit is leading you to hug them when they're throwing a temper tantrum instead of spanking their bottoms, do it. God knows those babies. You do what God is telling you to do. You keep on praying for them. You keep on blessing them. You keep on teaching them the Word of God, and you teach them the way that they should go. And Mama, Proverbs 22:6 says this, when they are old, they will not depart from it. Amen? Amen. Lastly, number three, Mama, don't give up. Paul says in verse 9, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up, if we faint not. There are some mamas in this room that are just now beginning to sow. You've got that brand new baby in your arms, maybe in your tummy, in your home, and you're probably overwhelmed and tired and wondering if you can do this. Wondering if you're doing everything right. And I want to speak to you, new mama. Don't give up. Do what you know to do. Rely fully on God at all times. Pray when you're tired. Pray when you don't know what to do next. Speak the word of God into every situation that you find yourself into. Pray when you and your husband don't agree on parenting points. Amen? And just keep sowing all the good that you know to sow, and don't give up. Come boldly before the throne of God. Ask for His grace to cover your mothering mistakes that you're likely to make and to guide you as you go. Don't compare yourself to any mother. Be quick to say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. And just keep on being that baby's mama. Amen. Some of you moms in this room are maneuvering through a field of sprouts, trying to figure out what you're seeing, if what you're seeing in your 5, 6, 7, 10, 13-year-old is a weed or wheat. Mama, pray. Ask the Lord for wisdom. And as James warns us, when He gives you that wisdom, don't doubt it. Just do it. Watch those wheat stalks grow up nice and tall and strong, and keep on sowing prayer and love and support and the light of Scripture into those babies. If you've made some mistakes along the way, listen to me, it's not too late to say, I'm sorry. You can say you're sorry. If what you're seeing in those precious, testy little mini-yous, or mini your husband's at some times, right? Just be honest with those little ones. Amen? Be honest with them. Tell them that mommy has made some mistakes, but Scripture says, the Bible says, we ought to talk like this, and we ought to do like this, and we ought to be quick to forgive. So that's what we're going to do together. It's okay to admit that you're wrong to your children. It will not diminish your authority in their eyes. Matter of fact, it will make you more real and more lovable, and they can trust you more that you're willing to say, that was a mistake. This is what Scripture says, and let's do this together. Amen? I've done it many times, and I'm sure I'm going to do it again. Some of you moms in this room have late teens or young adult children who are already showing mighty heads of grain. Mama, protect what you've sown. Dads, help them. That's a tough time in mom's life.
When they're starting to get more and more independent, they need you, Dad. They need you to stand beside them and pray with them and encourage them and support them. Amen. Pray and love and support those mighty young men and women, and don't let the harvest be stolen before reaping time. Intercede for them. And know that it's, like I said, it's never too late to sow something you've never sowed into them. They're never too old for you to start sowing the word into them. They're never too old for you to start sowing love and grace into them. Amen. Some of you ladies in here today lament the loss of a child or long for a child that's only in your heart. And I want to say to you that we love you. We support you. You are not forgotten. God will fulfill your dreams and your desires, even if it's not in the way that you think. We are here for you, ladies. Some of you moms in this room are at a place where you're watching your own reproduce. And they are going through the sowing and reaping process themselves. And to you, I say, help them. Even when the calls get further and further apart, even when they roll their eyes, okay, thank you. Listen, take it from this one. Every word of encouragement, every call, every bit of parenting advice is welcomed, and it is needed in those young adults' lives. So if you're becoming a grandmother, if you're in that stage where you're becoming a grandmother, keep on sowing into the grandbabies and into your children as they're having children. Amen? Sow into them even now. If everyone would stand with me today, I want to pray a special prayer over all of the moms in this room. But first, I want to speak a word of admonition to everyone in this room. In verse 10, Paul wrote, "Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith." Every opportunity that you have to encourage, pray for, sow into, bless, give a hug or a kind word to another person, especially someone in this church, do it. Don't let that opportunity pass you by. Mamas, sometimes we can be so insensitive toward other moms. Let's be the difference when someone is having a bad day or a hard time with their children. You just might put a smile on another mother's face when you tell her she's doing a good job. Men of God in this room, you're not exempt. Be quick to hold the doors for the ladies in this house. Be quick to lend a helping hand to the women in this room when you see them struggling with bags or boxes or whatever they're doing. Men, even around town, you might go out in town wearing your Living Hope shirt, and you be a gentleman. You look for opportunities to do good to other people in this town, and you're setting an example, not just for this church, but for Christ. Amen. Every opportunity that you see to do good to another person, do it. And on this Mother's Day, moms, tell another mom they're doing a good job. Dads, men, young people, tell someone they're doing a good job. Amen. Encourage them. Sow into them. Let's pray for these moms. Father God, I pray right now for every mother in this room. I pray that you give them wisdom. I pray that your spirit surround them with love, with grace, with strength to get through the day. I pray that you would endow us with special wisdom in how we raise our children, as we raise them as unto you. Father, I pray right now that every father in this house would have a supporting attitude towards their wives as they mother. I pray that you would knit moms and dads together so that they can be unified in how to raise the children. Father, I pray for moms who have had a loss or who have not been able to have children. I pray right now that you would comfort them. There's many in this room, Lord, and even today with Kathy, who have lost their mothers and who are mourning the loss of those moms. And God, I pray that you would comfort their hearts. Comfort their hearts today, God. I pray that today be a day of joy. I pray that today be the start of a new phase in all of these mothers' walks, that they would begin to see their job as a mother as a joy, that they would no longer compare themselves to other moms, but that they would look directly to you and see their children as a gift from you that they are stewarding. God, I pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Pastor.
Before we get ready to go, I want to make a couple statements. I bet you guys are like, praise God, Pastor Adrian preached today. We're going to get out of here early and get the chance to go home. And might even be early at the restaurant today. I want to say thank you, babe, for preaching today. It was such a timely message. God spoke to her heart. We, oh my goodness, I was going to continue in the vein of the book of Galatians, and she brought it to my attention. And traditionally, we have this thing where she preaches on Mother's Day, and it's such an honor and a privilege to have my wife to preach. What I took home out of that immediately at the end of the service, the tail end, God showed me. Sometimes we, it would be an awesome thing, kind of like salvation, if God were to just like, bam, everybody's saved. You're on your way to heaven, Jesus didn't even have to come and die, and bam, everybody's saved on their way to heaven. That would have been awesome. Everybody would have, been easy to hoist that kind of individual up on your shoulders and celebrate him. And kind of that's what they thought was going to happen, because they thought that he was coming in to rule and reign, and that's what they were looking for. And then even as parenting, wouldn't it be kind of selfish if your kid, just all of a sudden you gave birth to a child and you never, ever, ever had a hint of trouble, back talk, or anything out of that child? In one way, that would be awesome. But at the same time, I thought about how selfish that really is when we think like that. What a privilege and an honor, just like Christ came, suffered, and died so that you and I could have life. Man, why not as parents, joyfully, not in a weird way, but joyfully embrace those things and opportunities. Man, when your child comes with a difficult situation, difficult questions, bad decisions, that you, man, say, God, I thank you that you have allowed me to be this child's parent so that I can steer them clear of what they're facing or walk with them through a hard time in their life. That's a privilege and that's an honor. It's scary for me as a father knowing that I'm raising a boy that possibly is going to be just like me. I gave my mom a lot of hard times. But thank God that God has given me my children so that I can pour the word of God in them. So that I can love them unconditionally even when they don't seem to be lovable. What a selfless act. That's the statement I wanted to make. Be selfless parents. Be selfless moms. Always prefer another over yourself. Always consider someone else over yourself and your children. Dedicate your time and effort pouring God into them, loving them the way that Christ loves you. We can't go wrong in that, amen? And what if we as the church would have the same mind, where we love each other the way that Christ loves us? One of the greatest gifts God can give to us today is patience. We need patience as parents. Amen. Father, today I thank you for your grace and your mercy, God. I thank you that you have given us the opportunity to be parents, grandparents, aunties, uncles, friends of people who have children. And God, and we have been given an opportunity to say or to do something. You have given us that influence, and they have allowed us into that inner circle. God, I pray that we would take advantage of the opportunity, God, and I pray that most of all, we would pour your love and your grace and steer this generation that's coming behind us in the right direction. God, I pray that there would be a restoring of relationships in this place. A daughter with a mother, father with a son. God, I pray that there would be a wholesomeness and a wholeness that comes back to the family unit. And God, may you restore all of these relationships in your time and in your way. God, bless our mothers today, God. Bless our potential mothers. And God, we pray that you will be glorified in everything that they do and say, and everything that we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Living Hope Assembly of God.